From 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here.
Good morning. I want to invite you once again to listen with me as I read the scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read it from the King James translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 17. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of you may receive the things done in his body, according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend you not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on your behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be made beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Several years ago, I worked as a school administrator in Rockford, Illinois. And we were in an alternative setting, dealing with students that had many challenges. Had been expelled from other schools. Many were involved with the juvenile justice system. They had many challenges, and this is the group of students that our particular school catered to. And one of the programs that we work with in the Rockford community was a program called Fresh Start. And the premise behind the program was they accepted students regardless of their past mistakes, regardless of their past transgressions. The Fresh Start program was an opportunity for these students to get an education and make preparation to become productive, law-abiding citizens. And so they had an opportunity, regardless of whatever they had done in the past. It was not something that was held against them. In fact, we were established for the purpose of catering to this particular population. I say that because considering that today is the last Sunday of the year of our Lord, 2018. And if it's God's will, we look forward to 2019. Now we know that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. But considering the way that human beings look at time, we know that a new year is a milestone. It's an opportunity to set new goals. It's an opportunity for a new beginning, a fresh start, if you will. And so briefly this morning, I would like us to consider this idea of a fresh start as we make preparation, if it be God's will, to exit 2018 and enter 2019. And there are some things for your consideration in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, two things in particular that I'd like to point out. One is the judgment seat of Christ. Another is the love of Christ. We read in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and our trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And when you talk about terror, we're talking about fear. We're talking about godly fear. We're talking about the awe of God. And wouldn't the world be a better place if people would learn to fear God and respect authority? In the 111th Psalm in verse 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praises endureth forever. We also consider in verse 14, not only do we consider the judgment seat of Christ and the awesomeness, the fear of the Lord, but in verse 14, the Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And so Christ loved us so much that he sacrificed his life that we might live and that we might enjoy a more abundant life by being obedient to the will of God. And if Christ loved us and we reciprocate that love, then that means that we are controlled by the love of Christ. And that will compel us to serve him and do right by our fellow man. You see, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says if we die with him, and talking about the baptism, we're buried in the water, a spiritual death. Then as Christ rose up, then we should also live with him. And not only live with Christ, but we have an opportunity to live a more abundant life, again, a fresh start. And that's why the scripture says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So as we endeavor to live for Christ, conduct ourselves in such a way that God would be pleased. Since Christ died for all, that means that all have this very opportunity for salvation. by obeying God's will. And doing such, we can live a much more abundant life. Consider, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. And before we go further, we need to consider something, because the Bible says, therefore, if. And this word if is a very small word, but it's a prepositional word. It's a conjunction. It's a transitional word. It's a word that has conditions attached to it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, and what does it take to be in Christ? Well, you need to be obedient to God's will. You need to hear God's word. You need to believe God's word. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. You need to be baptized, and then you need to live a faithful life. And so if any man be in Christ, the Bible says that he is a new creature. In other words, there's a change that takes place when you obey the gospel. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that means all of your sins, all of your past transgressions are no more. And just think of the optimism that you have with the newness of life. You know, the wise African proverb said, when I see a child, I realize that God has not yet given up on man. And I hear the babies crying this morning, and I don't mind the babies crying. I appreciate those parents for having their babies in worship when they could be doing other things on a Sunday morning. And so when I notice that the babies are crying, that is newness of life. And just think of all the optimism and the hope when we have newness of life. When a new child is brought into the world, all these hopes and all these dreams of what this child could become. That brings optimism and great joy with newness of life. And you can experience that same thing that we experience physically. It's a greater experience when you think spiritually, that your life has been renewed, and all those things that you've done that are contrary to God's word are washed away. And God remembers them no more. Because when God sees you after you have obeyed the gospel, since Christ shed his blood, he purchased the church with his blood, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And when you are buried in a watery grave of baptism, you rise up a new creature. God doesn't see your filthiness. What God sees is his precious son, because you are hidden in the blood of Jesus Christ. When you are baptized into this newness of life. Consider, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. When the Bible talks about an earthly house, we're talking about this tabernacle that can be dissolved, and that's this physical body that houses our spirit, which belongs to God. And we know the scripture says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so we know that this physical body, we know that this house was not intended to last forever. And if you consider a physical house, a building made of brick and mortar, no matter how beautiful and no matter how much skill and how much craft is used into making that house, we know over time that house is going to get old and it's going to get decrepit. And the house is going to need repairs, and you're going to have to adjust the plumbing system from time to time. And you're going to have to do some upgrades to that house, because it wasn't meant to last forever, because it was made by man. and our physical bodies are the same. We get older and we start feeling aches and pains in places that we didn't even know existed. We can't move as fast as we used to. Even our minds don't operate as quickly as they used to. We have to take time and think about things before we give a response because we're just not as sharp as we used to be. And we suffer, we endure the maladies of the flesh. And that's what happens in this house, this old body, because it wasn't meant to last forever. But the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so if we live according to God's will, when we've done all that we can do, and we cannot do any more, when it's God's to call and ours to answer, when this physical body is no more, we have a heavenly house that we're not going to experience any aches and pains. We have a heavenly house where we're not going to have to go to the medical doctor, and we spend more time in the waiting room than we spend with the doctor. But the doctor still takes our money, and it seems like we're doing more work than he is. But we won't have to worry about that any longer if we rise up in the newness of life by being obedient to God's word, because we'll have a fresh start. And if we're blessed into those pearly gates, that day with the Lord as 1,000 years, and that 1,000 years as a day is going to be a reality, is going to come to fruition, because we'll live in peace for an eternity. And that's a long time. I want you to consider this newness of life, this fresh start. In verse 18, the Bible says that, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And it continues in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the word unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In these verses, not more than 4 times did I see the word reconciliation. And what that means is that God, through his son, Jesus Christ, is giving us a new beginning. Not that we deserve it, but God saw fit, knowing that we are feeble, knowing that we are sinful, knowing that even at our very best, we are nothing more than filthy rags. And I've heard this expression since I was a young man, the filthy rags, and this scripture is found in the Bible. But if you really understood what the Bible is talking about when it refers to filthy rags, I believe you'd have a greater appreciation for God sacrificing his only begotten son on our behalf. You know, when you, the way the Bible uses this expression, filthy rags. Why, it's talking about a woman's menstrual cycle. And there are certain times that women need certain products that are worthless when they're done, and they have to be discarded. And when the Bible talks about filthy rags, we are being compared to that very thing that's discarded. And so understanding that, we ought to have a greater appreciation for the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. He gave up his home in glory. Remember, he hadn't committed a sin, but he became sin. He became flesh. to reconcile us, to pay our debts. So through his death and our obedience, we could live in newness of life. And God saw fit to reconcile us that we might have an opportunity to live. And furthermore, in verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus reconciled us. He redeemed us. And I remember when I was a child, they had these thing called S&H green stamps. Some of you all don't know what I'm talking about. But these S&H green stamps, when you would go grocery shopping, and every time you made a purchase, your parents would get these S&H green stamps. And after collecting so many stamps, they could take them back to the store and they could trade them in for household goods such as a new set of dishes or some type of appliance that you could use. In other words, the store would buy those stamps back. And so when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, God sacrificed his son. He bought us back because we were not worthy of life. In fact, we were only worthy of death and nothing more. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But then in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And so we were not worthy, but because Jesus bought us back, because he shed his blood, we have the opportunity for a fresh start, for newness of life. And if that doesn't make you rejoice, then I don't know what will. As we embark upon this year of our Lord, 2019, if God blesses us to enter, there are some things I want you to consider. I got a series of questions here that I want to ask you. I warn you, please don't answer out loud. I had to ask myself these questions. But I just want you to contemplate for your consideration. If everyone was as faithful as me, how much faith would there be? If everyone studied God's word as much as I study God's word, how much studying would take place? If everyone displayed as much patience as I do, how much patience would there be? If everyone was as forgiving, if everyone was as long-suffering, how much forgiveness? How much long-suffering would there be? And if you all are honest with yourselves, just like I had to look at myself, I believe we all have room for improvement. We can all get better. So as we exit 2018 and plan to enter 2019, I encourage you to renew your allegiance and commitment to serve God. And you know, the Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You either hate the one and cling to the other. But I like the way Joshua said it in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. And then he went on with the discourse and he finally said, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. For those that are members of the church, those who have obeyed the gospel of our Lord, let us be encouraged to renew our allegiance, to renew our commitment, to be more faithful, to be more diligent, to be more patient, to be more long-suffering, to be more loving. And for those who have not obeyed the gospel, if you'd like to appreciate the blessings that we enjoy as New Testament Christians, if you'd like to share in this newness of life, the Bible says you come by hearing, believing, repenting of your sins, confessing that you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and being baptized, submerged in the water, rising up a new creature with hope and optimism. And you go on to live a faithful life. And God will reward you with the crown of life that never fades. In other words, you'll reign supreme with Christ forever. Fresh start. Newness of life. For a blessing that will last for an eternity. I thank you for your time and consideration. The lesson is yours. As we make preparation to stand and sing the song of invitation, if you are so compelled to respond, please do so at this time.
Please stand. Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to